thank you to our sponsors, Digital Magic the Gathering Online Card Specialist, CardHoarder.com, and MTGOTraders.com. And also thank you to our paper magic specialist, GondaPlaid.com, along with Cape Fear Games, a online card store and brick-and-mortar card store. You can find us each week on MTGCast.com, StarCityGames.com, TCGPlayer.com, MyMTGO.com, and MTGSalvation.com.
Hello, and welcome to another Monday Night Magic. This one is being recorded on Monday, so I hope that it goes up on Monday, although I'm making no promises. You'll know my success or failure in that regard at this point. I'm down a co-host. Jack recorded with me on Sunday. Unfortunately, Jack hasn't shown back up. Maybe time zone's confused, I'm not sure. So I had to scrape around to other folks, and this is a new voice for Monday Night Magic. It's someone who, if you've listened to the Mana Pool for a long time, you may have heard, and this is the infamous Ben. Hello, Ben.
I take offense to be called scrapings.
Well, scraping means I saw him on Twitter because he Twittered me about recording, and I said, "Oh wait, there's someone who's been on a podcast before. Let's grab him."
Very true.
So, yeah. Now, if the world ends and you don't hear this podcast, I'm very sorry for you. It's probably because Ben and I are on the same podcast.
Yep.
Listen to the Mana Pool if you want to know more about that, and I'm sure Chewie's going to roll over in his grave. He's probably not dead yet, so that's fine. Okay, let's get back to the Magic talk. That's kind of what I'm known for. So this week in Magic, the first thing I want to start off talking about is Tweet MTG. So if you're on Twitter, which you should be, and if you're not on Twitter, you should be, the fine folks on the Mothership are putting out a new wacky way to play multiplayer called Tweet MTG. So you will follow Tweet MTG, T-W-E-E-T MTG, on Twitter. And actually, you don't even have to be a member on Twitter to do that. You can go ahead and search up the feed for Tweet MTG to go see what it's saying. And they're going to send out instructions as to how the game is going to change. So all you need to do is get involved in a multiplayer game. Shouldn't be too difficult. Find more than one friend and play some Magic. And each of you are going to choose one of the M11 Planeswalkers, otherwise known as the Lorwyn or the M10 Planeswalkers, to align yourself with. So Jace, Ajani, Liliana, etc. You pick one of those, and they're going to send out tweets. They're going to say things like, "All non-Jace allied players play with their hands revealed," and things like that. And that will stay in effect until their next tweet. So, Ben, I know that you obviously are a fan of some multiplayer. What do you think of this?
I am very excited, and I just sent out a message to my group on Facebook telling them we need to get together this weekend, and one of my friends should bring his iPhone so we can watch Twitter.
Yes. So a smartphone or a laptop is something that you're probably going to want to do.
Yep.
And the times are going to be from any time anywhere in the world that is July 31st until any time in the world that is August 1st. They're going to be sending out tweets. So that is the time frame. So it's essentially going to be 3 days. And in the article that there'll be a link to on the show notes, it has some times for, like, in New York, so on the Eastern time zone, it's going to be from 8 a.m. on July 30th until 7:59 a.m. on August 2nd. So, yeah, that looks like a fun time. And, Ben, are you on Magic Online?
Unfortunately not. I don't have the time or the money. What with college coming up within a month.
Yeah, so Jack said pretty much the same thing. Well, for the folks who are on Magic Online, they're having the Magic Online Community Appreciation Week. So as you may know, the Community Cup was won by the community again. Yay, community!
Yay, we are the community.
Yes. Gavin is reportedly, especially according to Gavin's article, had a large role in this community victory. So yay, Gavin. And Yeah, if you see Conley, though, at any of the numerous events he'll be going to, you need to make sure that you tell Conley, thank you for helping with the Magic Online community, you know, winning this. In which case, he'll probably get upset because he wasn't invited to go to the Community Cup. Great fun. So should you see Conley, that's the big thing. Anyway, what they're doing is they're going to have Community Cup Mirrodin draft block queues. So 12-ticket Masters Edition 1, 2, and 3 Nyx packs draft queues. So 12 tickets get you a pack of each and in a fun draft. 9-ticket Shards of Alara block booster Nyx packs draft queues. So I believe those are those all-foil booster packs that you can get online to draft with. And then Urza's Saga and Legacy are going to return for play as well. And any Magic Online player reward points that you get are going to be doubled during that time frame. So that's a pretty decent payout, and you get to play some formats that you don't normally get to play. So definitely check that out if you're on MTGO. Ben, I know that you enjoy multiplayer again, and
oh yes,
did you see the new Plane Chase variant that they put out there?
I did the board version of it.
Yeah, the Eternities map.
Eternities map. That's right.
Yeah, so that's what they're calling it. So basically, what you're going to do is you're going to take your stack of planes and you're going to shuffle them all together. And then you lay one out face up, and then one in each of the cardinal directions. So like above it, below it, and to each side. So north, south, east, west. Is how I'd refer to it. And everyone gets to make their mulligan decisions, already knowing what plane you're going to start off on. After you get to resolve all your mulligans, you turn the other four planes face up. So, you know, you go ahead, and once you're ready to planes walk away from the plane, you get to choose which of the four revealed planes that you're going to get to go to. There's also an option that if you don't like any of those planes and maybe you want to get really far away from one of them, you can go diagonal to a non-revealed plane.
In a hell ride.
Yeah, a hell ride. Have you read Roger Zelazny's Chronicles of Amber?
No, I'm not familiar with that. I'll have to look it up.
It's a very excellent series of books, and I do believe that is where they stole the hell ride terminology from. The hell ride mean in there, the Amberites could do a version of planes walking, and when they were in a mad rush to get away from somewhere, they would hell ride, which was a much worse version than a normal planes walk. So,
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, what do you think of this?
Having played Plane Chase a lot, I'm not that excited about it because Plane Chase tends to be innately broken for people who have really good luck with dice rolling. And this just kind of encourages it, since you can actually decide, okay, I'm going to go to Ataria, take five turns in a row, then go to up over to somewhere else. I don't know.
Lauren Wilds, yeah.
Yeah, Lauren Wilds, and gain a bunch more mana. And I'm not terribly fond of Plane Chase myself, since I'm terrible at rolling dice.
Yeah, see, I'm pretty excited about it because I like the idea of being able to sculpt your destiny a little bit more.
Yeah, that is kind of nice.
I mean, this way you don't have to worry about accidentally, you know, landing into the Furnace of Wrath land, you know, and then all of a sudden when you're playing the guy with the red deck, and then all of a sudden, you know, he shoots five lightning bolts at you or whatever. And, well, that would be cheating.
Dead.
Yeah, so, you know, three lightning bolts at you or whatever, and you're dead, you know, so.
And also on the plus side, it allows you to play with Narile and Letho Lake, since you can actually decide whether you want to go to them or not.
Yeah.
They won't just turn up randomly and kill everyone.
Yes, not killing everyone is a good thing. Well, unless you're the one doing the killing. But hey, we digress. So that brings me to the San Diego Comic-Con. Now, if you're really interested in kind of the stuff that they revealed at San Diego Comic-Con, I'm going to recommend a blog, Gifts Ungiven, to you. The author of the blog is one of the Channel Fireball authors, and he managed to go to San Diego Comic-Con, and he took pictures of all the wonderful things that they displayed up on their PowerPoint presentation. Now, the one that I wanted to focus on was Sword of Body and Mind. So, now those of you following along at the Mana Pool as well, I know there's at least some number of you. Ben has been on a quest to ignore Scars of Mirrodin's spoiler stuff, but he's already peeked at this, so I'm not actually ruining his quest.
I'm a bad person.
So, Sword of Body and Mind is going to be the card in the latest From the Vault. This one's Relics. That is coming from Scars of Mirrodin. So it is an artifact equipment. It costs 3 to cast. And if you're familiar with the sword's cycle, this next part won't be very surprising to you. Equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from green and blue. Now here's the part that everyone's been waiting for. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, you put a 2/2 green wolf creature token onto the battlefield, and that player puts the top 10 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. So you mill them for 10, and you get a 2/2 wolf creature. And the equip cost, of course, is 2 to fit with the cycle. Thoughts?
I think that EDH players are dancing around the rooms, spinning their pants above their heads and woohooing, because Sword of Fire and Ice and Sword of Light and Shadows are absolutely bonkers in EDH, and they are unquestionable staples. This one's a little weaker because it's milling, but the token is a very strong ability, and plus blue and green being incredibly, incredibly popular colors in EDH, especially in the decks that are some of the really broken color ones, like Omnath and
Kraj. I'm pretty excited about it. I love the sword cycle, and there have been hints that they're going to complete the enemy colored sword cycle, which I'd find very exciting.
Probably a white and red one.
Yeah,
that should be exciting.
So, I'm a huge fan of the swords and have been since they've come out. Matter of fact, I probably own 5 or 6 different of each of them.
Can you send me a couple?
No, they're pretty much all in decks.
Darn.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Scars of Mirrodin.
Go ahead.
You definitely saw a lot more than just the Sword of Light and Shadow, or sort of Body and Mind there. We definitely heard about the new Planeswalker.
Yeah.
Koth.
Yeah, so they've only really revealed Koth's name, right?
Appearance.
And appearance, yes.
It's like a bolt shock.
So he's in the picture that they show of him, he's also appearing with Elspeth.
Yep, which indicates new Elspeth.
Exactly. Now, go ahead.
And there's a hint that he's monocolored.
Yes.
But we're not sure.
Yes. And I've seen speculation. Some people are like, well, maybe he's no-colored. But a lot of people are still believing that they're going to make Karn as a planeswalker and that he'll be colorless.
I'm hoping. Because Karn is an absolute badass, and I want to see him back.
Also, be great to have a colorless planeswalker for my Karn Golem EDH deck. That'd be awesome.
And then we'll have another one of those Nicol Bolas scenarios where you can have Nicol Bolas planeswalker and Nicol Bolas the dragon.
Yeah, exactly. It is worth noting that in the Elspeth versus Tezzeret deck, that the Elspeth that's going to appear in that is not the new Elspeth. It is the current or the old Elspeth. So,
but with the emblem line.
Yes, with the emblem text. So the all ever so important emblem text. And so if you like finding out new things and stuff that is, relevant to people in that regard, and you like to hear it straight from the developers, there's going to be an M11 developer chat on Tuesday, 7/27. So that would probably be tomorrow or today, depending at when you get this. It's going to be 6 p.m. Eastern time. So go ahead and check that out, assuming I have the podcast posted before this. If not, sorry. Have you ever gotten a chance to participate in those?
I keep meaning to, but the last couple have occurred during the school year, and I was always doing something like an activity or sleeping when the dev chat occurred. But this time, I have it bookmarked, I have memorized the time, and I will be there.
Well, great, because I will not. But and I actually haven't been to one of these, but I mean, it's an opportunity to interact with the developers and text them messages and have them get back to you. And it's always interesting to interact with folks from Wizards.
Yep.
Something.
And I keep hearing things about people getting free stuff from participating in it, so I'm willing to give that a go.
Oh, well, that is cool. So there you go. Talk to developers. Get free stuff. Woohoo!
Yep.
So Remy Fortier of France has been handed a one-year ban by the DCI for match fraud. He is a former Pro Tour champion. He's the flooded Pro Tour, Pro Tour Valencia. He was the winner of that. So the Starking Post has some more on it, although not a lot of background. So if you want to check it out, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes. But going from the not so good news to absolutely very good news is the StarCityGames.com Open Series is increasing their prize payout. Now, normally, you know, someone increases the prize payout, you're thinking, oh, that's just fine. The top guy is going to get more money. Whoop-de-doo. No, they're doing it the right way. They're going ahead and putting out extra cash payout for people who finish now 17th through 32nd. So everyone who finishes 17th through 32nd is going to get $50. Whereas before you got none. So that's pretty cool. They're extending, they're doubling down how far they're extending their prize payout. That's adding another $800 into the prize pool per event. So that means both on the standard and the legacy. So $1,600 extra into the prize pool for each weekend. And then they're also expanding some of the events that they're doing. We've got on Friday night, if you pre-register for either open series, either the standard or the legacy, you're going to get a free Friday night magic at the event site or at a hotel right by the event site where they're doing pre-registration. And then they've also increased their side events. Now, besides adding in a two-headed giant sealed event, it's pretty cool on the days that they're not having legacy, they're having a legacy challenge. And then the days that they're not having standard, they're having a standard challenge. So now if you want to play legacy 2 days and you want to play standard 2 days, you can do that instead of playing in the main event for the off format for you. Have you had a chance to check any of these out, Ben?
I keep meaning to, and I know, and I'm just not, I'm being a school child still technically. I don't get a whole lot of chance to travel around, and something funny is that there's a I'm going to Nats and I'm going to hang out there with some friends and Tom and all that, and you actually
no
if you're there
I'm not at
not
Nats
gonna
I'm going to be at Denver.
Dang it! Oh yeah, you're being there for
GG's Live. Yeah,
darn it. Oh well, but the week afterwards, the 28th. Is the Star City Games Minneapolis, and on the on that week I'm road tripping down to college. So, oh well,
just poor timing for you.
Yep. Oh well.
Yeah, you know these events are a lot of fun, and I highly encourage you to try one of these out or any of the other cash tournament events that are going on. TCG Player and Channel Fireball both put on some as well.
Yeah, I'll have to give it a go if some come around my location again.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I'm sure that they're going to be increasing this next year as well. So, you know, if you can't make it this year, look for the schedule for next year when they release that.
Definitely.
Now, Magic Online, obviously the M11 has been released in real life, but now online, it's going to be released as well, and that's going to happen. Well, the product will be available on Monday, August 2nd. The cards are, this is kind of funny actually, the cards become legal in all constructed formats on July 28th after the downtime. Huh. Now, so this is great for the reprints. If you have any of the reprints or whatever that have been reprinted in the past and now are legal again, you know, you'll be able to play with those ahead of time. And then
Duco Shade.
Yeah. And then the release events are going to start happening on Wednesday, August 4th after the downtime. So there's going to be six different parts, 2, 4, 8-player casual draft queues. They're going to have regular draft queues. They have 16-player Swiss sealed flights, 64-player top 8 premium drafts, and then a top 8 sealed Swiss events, as well as the release event championships. So if you're on Magic Online, go ahead and check that out. I mean, the release events are always a great time. Everyone's getting new cards, and you know, if you can turn around and sell them quickly, you can oftentimes make some money on that as well, is my understanding. So, other big events going on, Gen Con. So we have Magic has released their schedule events at Gen Con, and there's going to be some pretty cool stuff going on. We've yep. got the Vintage and the Legacy Championships, as well as a Zendikar Block Championship. Mm-hmm. Some massive multiplayer Magic, which will feature some Wizards R&D members like Tom Lapeel and Mark Gottlieb.
Ooh, and Richard Hagen's going to be there.
Yeah, so if you're a fan of the official Magic the Gathering podcasts, you really need to run into Rich Hagen.
Yep.
And they're going to be selling From the Vault relics at their booth for retail. So
good luck getting that.
You definitely have to get a ticket, and you're only allowed one ticket per person. So each day, they're going to be handing out 100 tickets between 10 and 11 a.m. So start lining up about 8 a.m. And that's kind of what's going on at Gen Con. Do you play in many of the older formats at all?
Does casual count? That's pretty much all I play. I play, well, I suppose you'd call it Vintage, but if I went into a Vintage tournament, my head would probably explode from losing so hard.
Yeah, there's some pretty sick things that Vintage tournaments can do. So it's always fun to look at the deck list from those championship lists just to see exactly how broken they are. So good luck to you if you're headed out to play in one of those, like Mr. Conley Woods. And remember, if you see Conley, make sure to taunt him about not being invited to the Community Cup.
Will do.
So the Pro Tour may be returning to Honolulu. Then again, it might not. Yes, big news.
Maybe.
The Star Kingdom Post put up there that the event site that has hosted the last time that a Pro Tour was held in Honolulu put a Magic the Gathering Pro Tour event on their schedule for February. Now, it's not there anymore because they took it down rather quickly. So either one of two things. Either one, the Pro Tour scheduled there and the event site blooped and put it up when they shouldn't have. Or someone at the event site made a mistake and put stuff up from last year or the year before or whatever. So who knows? But if it's coming, it's probably coming in February. That's when they put it up there. So since I'm recording on Monday, we're actually getting to see the winners of some of the national championships.
Yep.
So Adam Witten was the winner for the Australian national championships. Perez was the winner in France. And Eliar, I think I pronounced his name right, is repeating as the Canadian champ. So, did you check out any of the national coverage over the weekend?
I watched a little bit. I popped in and out, but I usually watch the coverage for Worlds and anything that comes up on the official Magic the Gathering podcast in terms of stuff.
So, anything interesting in the decks that you think is worthy of discussion, or?
I like to see that the other Titans other than Grave and Primeval are making an impact. Yeah. Like, I don't know, I definitely saw some Frost Titans around.
Oh yes, definitely some Frost Titans around. Eat that, you other MTG cast people. Frost Titan representing.
I definitely did not hate on Frost Titan.
No, but pretty much all the rest of my co-hosts did.
Yep.
Granted, he is the worst of the Titans, but...
but he is not a bad card in a vacuum.
Yes, exactly. So, there you go. I think the French team is particularly stacked. You have Guillaume Matillon, as well as Julien Perez, and then Antoine Ruel is the other team member there. So, and their alternate, if one of them for some reason can't compete, is Guillaume Wapatafa. So,
that's very good.
So that is a star-studded team. When Worlds is coming about, expect to hear people talking about the French team being a favorite. Probably the other really interesting storyline is that Jay Elliar, the Canadian champion, has repeated in his championship. But then besides the fact that he's repeated, he was kicked out of Worlds last year for cheating. So
was he?
Yes. So, I mean, there was I don't remember exactly what the circumstances were. I know that there were several people who were kicked out for cheating at Worlds. I'm not sure if it was peeking at cards during the draft, which it may have been.
Quite possible.
Yeah, but so it is very interesting to see if he'll be able to rehabilitate his reputation come Worlds again.
Well, I say good luck to him, and don't do that again.
Yeah. Somehow, I don't think he'll be making that mistake again.
Probably not.
Yeah, because I just don't see it happening. But we'll tune in to find out. Do you follow the Pack to Power trades at all on Mana Nation?
Whenever Trick puts up the new Pack to Power and talks about it on Twitter, I go and look, and it's very cool.
Yeah, I also am a Pack to Power fan. And this week was a really good week for Pack to Power because we're getting really close to Grand Prix Columbus, which is where he wants to complete his Pack to Power trade to pick up some power.
Yep. Didn't he get a cornerstone this week?
Yeah, so he calls it a cornerstone, which is I think it's one of the Portal 3 Kingdom cards expensive tutors.
Yep.
And the advantage of that is that's one of those cards that can actually you can get the attention of someone you're trading with. I mean, if you come with just a bunch of random rares and stuff, you know, no one's probably going to really give up a Mox for that or something. But all of a sudden, you know, you start having some legitimate Vintage and Legacy cards in your collection. And now he has started to. Then, you know, it's starting to be a possibility. So that's a pretty cool development, and I have been following it. I'm very excited about that.
Indeed. I look forward to seeing where it goes from here.
Yes. So I would tell you what I've been playing, but I guess I can tell you what I've been playing. My recent playing thing is I played my son in our pre-release sealed decks. He was wanting to play me since we didn't get matched up in the main event, and he resoundingly kicked my rear.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have two overwhelming stampedes.
That helps.
Yeah, I was a turn away from winning each game, and then overwhelming stampede for the win. So,
Your face was flattened.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to play with that card at all?
Overwhelming Stampede?
Yes.
No, not yet, but I have played with Overrun, and I imagine it's much like an Overrun, except better in most cases.
Yeah, if you have anything, if you have a creature that's larger than 3/3, it just gets obscene. And he was playing it with like the new Crawworm, I think he had out both times.
So, Yavimaya Worm.
Yeah, like +6/+6 to all of his dudes. It's just like there is no scenario in which case I have a blocking scenario that would let me win here.
Yeah, I'm looking to get one for my Rith EDH deck, which is all mana acceleration and fatties.
That sounds like the perfect card for that deck.
Mm-hmm.
So now is the time in the cast where Tom's voice goes hoarse. And since Tom's not here, it's my turn. I don't have a lot of emails myself to read. So, Ben, sit back and I guess you can answer some of the questions as people ask questions.
Yep.
And I'm going to take a sip of water. And I'm going to start into listener emails. So Wolfgang asks for a shout out to his card store, Kobold Horde, in Glencoe, Minnesota. There you go. Nathan emails in, I think the next contest should be entitled, What Would Tom Do for a Game Day Promo Mitotic Slime? A.K.A. Tom's $20 Mitotic Slime Challenge. Anyway, he says, anyway, keep up the good work, and don't forget the mantra everyone should live by, Cash Magic Hose, in that order. I do not necessarily endorse that, but hey, if that's what you want to spend your money on, go for it.
I don't usually spend my money on cash.
Well, okay. Minor detail.
Yes.
Tangent promises Tom his Mitotic Slime if and when he gets a game day top 8, and he has not missed a top 8 to date in game day tourneys. So with Tom's luck, Tangent will miss it this time. Tangent is one of the hosts on the MTG cast, and he does the show Tapped Out, which I highly recommend.
Right.
Yeah. He's recently got another co-host to talk with, and their dynamic is really good. They have a really down-to-earth view on things. So
thank goodness for that.
So Matt W. writes in that last week's episode, we had an email from a listener admitting to trading a Mox Emerald for an Elvish Archers. You defended the trade by saying the Elvish Archers were good in Alpha as a 2/1 first strike for 1G, which seems fairly powerful. If I'm not mistaken, Elvish Archers in Alpha were actually misprinted as a 1/2 first strike for 1G. That makes the deal much worse if it wasn't already bad enough.
Indeed.
And he is right. The cards are a 1/2 in Alpha. Although when people say Alpha, sometimes they mean Alpha, Beta, Unlimited. So it may have been a 2/1 Archers. But in his defense as well, the Mox was just another rare back then.
Yeah.
You know, I had a guy on my floor in college who decided on a lark he wanted to create a deck that was entirely powered by Moxes. So you know, he got like 30 or 40 of them or whatever to power out his, you know, 80 card deck, and you know, then traded them all away later on after he was done, you know, with the little experiment. So yeah. Sad times. James N. writes in that he enjoys the show, even though MTG is on the sideline with a new baby in the household. He likes the non-MTG banter. Well, we're glad you like the show. Thank you very much. And Tom says a thank you out to Esteban for sending Tom the link to the collection of the most homoerotic sports photos.
I was just looking at these and cackling.
Yeah, well, I'm not putting the link in the show note. If you want them, email Tom.
Good idea.
They're, so. Anyway, thank you, Peter, for researching M11. And it only has 4 real-world flavor text quotes, which is definitely slowly decreasing in the core set over time. Which, for like me, that's a sad face kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for Gravedigger to come out with the flavor text, Alas, Poor Yorick.
cup of coffee.
So Sam from Goshen, Ohio, writes in with a few questions. During his last FNM, he was on the receiving end of a nerd snapping and things of that nature, which led to him getting his butt kicked in the parking lot over. Okay, I'm going to read it exactly as it's written. Maybe it'll make more sense. During my last FNM, I was on the receiving end of a nerd snapping and things of that nature, in which led to him getting his butt kicked in the parking lot over me dissing the card Childhood Horror. I don't think this was my fault, but I was wanting to hear your input on what you would do. So first I'm going to start off with, and that is, I never think that physical altercations are a acceptable outcome in Magic. There's just no reason for someone to have to be physically violent in my mind.
No. Not really.
I mean, not unless the guy has poured a soda over top of your Black Lotus that he took out of the sleeve to do it on purpose. And even then, I think a lawsuit's better.
Kick him in the shins.
Yeah. Really, though, if someone is engaging in abusive behavior, you need to report them to the judge. If there's no judge, to the store owner. And particularly if someone's engaging in physical violence, you need to definitely report them, because the DCI takes that very seriously and will ban that person.
Oh, yeah.
And if your store owner doesn't want to ban a person who's being physically violent to people, find a new store, because there are other stores that you can play Magic at, and it's just not worth it.
Quite.
We're talking about a hobby and something that's supposed to be entertaining, not something that's supposed to, you know, involve people getting hurt. So then he asks, his favorite card is Basking Root Walla, is wondering what we thought of it. So I really like Basking Root Walla. I've used it in Blue Green Madness, and it, you know, if you ever have a deck where you're discarding things, it's spectacular.
Oh yeah.
Have you had any interesting play scenarios with Basking Root Walla at all?
Not really. I only played with it in the Grook versus Liliana decks, and it was just fun to, whenever he would point the Liliana at me, to just drop the Root Walla into play instead of discarding something. But I, on one of the Mana Pool episodes, there was, I was listening to Mike just dropping four Root Wallas into play with a what's it called? The one that the Fauna Shaman enchantment. Why am I forgetting?
Survival of the Fittest.
Survival of the Fittest. Yeah, just dropping four of them into play, and that's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. Once again, discard and Basking Root Walla go along very well. And also, I mean, it pumps up to be a pretty formidable critter, so definitely a good card. And then he says, I've listened to your podcast from like number 100, and I like how you guys are all casual about stuff. So I was thinking about this question. What would you do in a life or death scenario on a plane? So, I'm assuming that this means like the plane is getting ready to crash or something like that, in which case my preferred option is going to be pray. Because if it's a life or death situation where like I need to land the plane or something like that, it's not going to be good. Not a qualified pilot. So, how about you on life or death situations in a plane?
Plane, let's see. I'm going to assume that if it's about to crash, I am going to attempt to ignite my spark and planes walk away. And if it's a terrorist, I'm going to hide under my seat and hope that they walk by so I can grab his leg and trip him.
Well, that sounds like a much more practical application to me, just opting to pray and die.
Indeed.
Okay. So then we've got Jake from Alabama. When Jake and his crew started playing in Lorwyn's Shadowmoor block, they were all under the impression that lands were colored. They were colored by the mana symbol that appeared on the card. And this made his mono blue control deck amazing and could finish a game in two turns easily with his 13-13 Fairy Storm. The day that we discovered lands were colorless was a sad day for me. Well, Jake, I want to tell you that this is not an uncommon occurrence. Jack from North Carolina there, he also had a very similar experience thinking that the lands were colored. And it really is a common misconception folks have.
Yep.
I don't even want to tell you what I thought the starting life total was back when I was playing when it first there. Let me just say Lightning Bolt was an extremely good card.
Oh, dear.
So Joseph M. lets us know that Frost Titan has shown up in a PTQ deck. Kamiyawa Shugo's Blue, Red, Green Destructive Titans, a standard top 8 for a PTQ in Pro Tour Amsterdam in Kanazawa, Japan. So, and it has also showed up in some of the Nationals deck lists as well. So Frost yep. Titan representing.
Woo!
Yes. Justin B. sends in the combo of Primeval Titan and Lotus Cobra, and that will create lots of mana.
Pretty solid.
And then Sean from California wants to know what Magic blogs we read. So I'm going to recommend that if you want to know what Magic blogs I read, that you listen to Mr. Suitcase number 15. It's where I go through what's in my RSS reader, and I talk all about all of the things that I read. So enjoy listening to me drone on about the blogs I read. I do talk about the authors that are on the blogs I like and different articles, different things, what they're good for and so forth. So, Ben, what do you follow?
Really the only Magic blog – oh, wait. Let's see. I read The Magic Lampoon, Good Gamery, and Urtai's Lament.
Okay.
Urtai's Lament in particular is very good.
So yeah, Urtai's Lament is the one that talks about the pre-constructed decks, right?
Yep, it's a very, very interesting blog, and he's very in-depth. He's actually been getting more in-depth talking about mana ratios in the decks and what they do well and what they do badly, and he's got charts and graphs, and it's all very fancy.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who really takes his pre-constructed magic very seriously. And if you're into, you know, if you have some of those that product and are interested in kind of how the new products rate, it's definitely worth checking out.
Oh yeah.
What were the other ones that you had said?
Let's see, Good Gamery and The Magic Lampoon.
Now, I actually don't follow either of those. What are those about?
They're magic comedy sites.
Ah, okay.
They post articles and card manipulations, making fun of various things.
Okay.
Like one of the articles from Good Gamery is "I Have Wings Yet Cannot Fly," which was a poem about Whippoorwill, or Armored Cancrix asks if you've seen John Connor. And then The Magic Lampoon had an article called "Well-Mannered Online Player Congratulates Opponent on Good Game, and These Thumb Screws Are for Your Protection."
Okay, yeah. So if you want some humorous information, go check those out.
Yep.
Maury from Aberdeen, Scotland. Woohoo! Yay, Aberdeen. Thanks, woo. Monday Night Magic, and its recommendation on Baby Bee Powder for saving his family holiday.
Now, I want to hear that story.
Unfortunately, that is as much of the story as we have. So, Maury, thank you very much. I'm glad that we could help with the hygiene corner there. Paul dislikes Helldozer in multiplayer EDH and Knight of the Reliquary in general. So... And then Nick from Australia, woohoo, Australia, wonders what we think of Abyssal Persecutor plus Fling as a combo. And I have to say, I'm a big fan of the Abyssal Persecutor Fling combo. I mean, that's just it's a lot of fun.
Me too. It is definitely a great way to get rid of your Abyssal Persecutor once he's done his thing.
Yeah, you know, you attack for six, again. They've probably taken a couple points of damage from something else, and then you fling it and win. Woohoo!
and you hurl it at their skull.
Yes. So Tom wants us to remind everyone about the From the Vault set. Create your... Okay, let me start over. Tom wants us to remind everyone about the contest to make your own From the Vault set. He'll be adding some more prizes due to the large number of entries. Likely the prizes are going to be singles.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
I hope that me being on this podcast doesn't disqualify me.
I doubt it, because Tom will be doing the judging, and you're on the podcast with me. So I won't tell him. He probably won't listen, and you'll be fine.
I have one more thing. A friend of mine has started doing some Magic the Gathering comic parody comics. He had one about the Blood Throne Vampire gelatinous or mitotic slime combo, and one about Hoarding Dragon and Elixir of Immortality, and they're both really funny. So I'll send you the link so you can put them in the show notes.
Okay. And then we're just going to skip the video games discussion because, quite frankly, it's Tom's thing, and I haven't played the video game, so we'll let Tom talk about it when he gets back.
About it.
Yeah, one final piece of MTG Cast news, and that is I will probably not be showing up very often on the cast for a little while, and I really won't be contributing to the show notes for a while. I am engaging in a job search, and pretty much most of my time that I would be spending on Magic is going to be spent on job searching. So,
you're not going to do a Gavin, correct?
You mean disappear and never come back?
Exactly.
Well, Gavin has come back.
Well, once.
Twice. And I'm sure he'll show up for big shows. I don't know exactly when I will be coming back. And, it will all depend on finding my job stuff. So, matter of fact, if you want to hire someone, particularly in the St. Louis area, to do complex SQL queries or business analyst or data analysis, email me, eric@mtgcast.com. That's eric@mtgcast.com.
We'll get right on that.
And you can email Tom at pitimp, pitimp@mtgcast.com. So, Ben, if people want to leave you feedback besides putting them in the show notes, is there an email you want to give out, or you just want people to flame you in the forums?
I'll give them an email. You can email me at nurglemaverick@gmail.com, which is spelled nurglemaverick@gmail.com. So yeah, if you want to send all your flame and hate mail about how you never want to hear my voice on the show, email me there and I will laugh at you.
Yeah, or you can email me and, I'll probably still invite him back if no one else shows up. So, well, that's going to do it for this week in Magic with Monday Night Magic. And thank you, Ben, for stepping up and giving me someone to talk to.
My pleasure.